Okay, let's see here. I'm not even sure. We don't have a verse to turn to. What our subject is, what makes communism godless? And I know that, I guess I better get to the right notes. Last week I started talking about this topic of communism and Christianity, and it may surprise you that I have agreed to take this topic. So why should we talk about it? So I have three reasons. Number one, although most Christians oppose communism, most of us only think about it as something we are against it. But we don't really know why. And then secondly, despite the collapse of Soviet communism, Marxism is still alive as an idea and affects some professing Christians. There are Christian Marxists. And then thirdly, one aspect of communism, its economic theory, is socialism, which is very attractive to many Christians. And so there is a need, I think, to understand its teaching, its basic teaching, and how it departs from Christianity. So we're not going to make a long series of this, but I do want to touch in more detail on each of the three points we talked about last time. I think that the philosophy, the social economic theory, and the revolutionary ethos of communism is directly opposed to God's Word. So we ought to think about those areas. And I gave you this statement last week. It comes from the Encyclopedia Britannica. It's a summary of Marx's thought. His theory has three main aspects. First, a materialist conception of history. Second, a critique of capitalism and its inner workings. And third, an account of the revolutionary overthrow of capitalism and its eventual replacement by communism. So today we're going to look at the materialism in general and show how the ideas of materialism create the description godless communism. I don't have one specific text. I think I'll put all of them on the screen, so I don't really have one for you to turn to, but I do have a proposition that we want to start with. The philosophy of materialism is entirely at odds with the Bible picture of reality. Any movement, including communism, that rests on materialism cannot be true. So that's the statement I want to start with. We're talking not just about materialism in the sense of, I want more things. That's a materialistic attitude, but materialism is a philosophy that is taught by some, even still today. There are all kinds of philosophies. But it is that which undergirds what Karl Marx and then subsequently communists taught and believed. So what we're going to do, first of all, is to summarize materialism. And I have a couple of definitions again. This one from the Oxford English Dictionary. The theory or belief that nothing exists except matter and its movements and modifications. More narrowly, the theory or belief that mental phenomena are nothing more than or are wholly caused by the operation of material or physical agencies. So, materialism says that if you can't touch it, taste it, smell it, see it, hear it, it isn't real. Okay? And so it has to be observable by in the physical world for something to be real. Everything, materialism says, everything is real. It denies the spirit. Now, against that, you might remember Rene Descartes' famous line. Does anybody know what his famous line is in Latin? Does anybody know what his famous line is? Cogito, ergo sum. I think, therefore I am. Okay, that was Rene Descartes' contribution to the subject. Now, he was a godless individual also, but he did believe in a spiritual aspect to reality or an ideal aspect to reality. But what the materialist says, no, your thinking is caused by physical reactions in your body, your hormones, your nerves, their synapses, etc., etc. That is all physically caused. So just because you think doesn't mean that you have a spirit. That is what materialism says. Okay? So it reduces everything to matter. I got another definition from the Decision Lab, a website. They say materialism as a philosophical theory can be defined by two claims. Material matter is the only thing in our reality that truly exists. Nothing else exists apart from material matter. That's the basic ideas of materialism. Now, there is a contrast between... Now, I'm just see if I'm going to... Okay, there we go. I want to get rid of those definitions. There's a contrast between... I used the term earlier, idealism. Basically, one of the studies said... in fact, I have a quote here. Despite the large number of philosophical schools and their nuances, all philosophies are said to fall into one of two primary categories defined in contrast to each other, idealism and materialism. So idealism is the opposite of materialism. Now, some forms of idealism will say everything you see is an illusion. Nothing is real. It's all, you know, there's a hidden world behind it, hidden truth behind it, and we're just seeing an illusion of reality. Okay? So that's pure idealism. Materialism says, no, what you see is what you get. Okay? There is no hidden world. What you see is what is real. Okay? Those are the two competing philosophies. Now, they have two fundamental questions. What is reality? What is reality? And how did it get there? Okay, that's what man in their philosophy is trying to figure out. Now, I do want to mention a third category. The third category is dualism. Dualism says that reality equals the ideal plus the material, or the spiritual plus the physical. So Christianity is a dualistic way of thinking. All right? And I think it is the correct way of thinking, of course. So Christianity is the correct dualism. There are other dualistic philosophies as well, but Christianity, I think, is the correct one. All right, so that's a summary. Materialism, only material things are real. Everything else is an illusion. There's no such thing as ghosts, for example. Okay, now, supporting biblical dualism is the next thing I want to talk about. And this is where we're going to look at the Bible. So the Bible says that the whole universe is subordinate to and created by God. Okay, so God, first of all, God is a spirit. John 4:24. We quoted this last time. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. All right, so we start there. God, the Spirit, who is over everything. All right, in the beginning, Genesis. John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right. So God is a spirit. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. So we have a spirit being. The Word is a spirit being also. The Word is with God. Okay. He was in the beginning with God. So there's not a starting point for the Word. All right. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. All right? So that's, you know, that you're very familiar with that passage and the claims that it makes. The Word, later we understand the Word is Christ, is the creator of all things. The Spirit, the Father, the Spirit is the creator of all things. Colossians 1:16 adds to this, for by Him, by Jesus, all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. So, all things were made by God. Now, note the idea here of visible and invisible. What's the visible? The physical world, material world. God created the material world and the material universe. The stars and the moons and the planets and the comets and the you know, whatever else floating around out there. It's all created by God. Okay? And the invisible. So, angels. God created all spiritual realities outside himself. And God created all material reality. So the physical universe, the spiritual universe. And that means that God is above and beyond and superior to everything that he made. So we look to the Bible to tell us how we got here and what is real. What is real? Well, spirits are real. Angels are real. This world is real. We are real. And we are a dualistic being. That's the next thing. God made man as a dualistic being. So this next verse, then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being, is how the New American translates this. All right? So man is obviously physical. I mean, if you, you know, you can reach out and touch someone and you, you know, you are, you know you're real. There's something there. Okay? But man is also spiritual. He is a living being. The word here is nephesh, soul. He's a living soul. We have a spirit about us. So we, one of the sites that I was reading said that one of the arguments against pure materialism is that there's no locus that we can say, we are not aware of any part of our being that is doing the thinking. Okay, we don't say, okay, it's my brain that's thinking. I don't feel anything up here that's thinking. I tend to see things from here, from this level, because that's where my eyes are. If I had the proverbial eye in the back of my head, my perception would be different. All right? But my thinking, where am I thinking from? You know, the Greeks, they used to talk about the seat of the emotions. They felt the gut was the seat of the emotions. Well, you know, there's all kinds of images, and we know that things are happening in your brain when you're thinking. We know that the brain somehow stores memories because of things they've done in surgeries and so forth. But we aren't actually aware of where we are thinking from. We are not thinking from anywhere. It's just our spirit. We are aware of being us inside our bodies. Right? We don't have, unless you're delirious, you don't have an out-of-body experience. You're in your body. Okay? So, we are created physical and spiritual. And here's another verse that it sits in with this. Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. Remember him before the silver cord is broken and the golden bowl is crushed and the pitcher by the well is shattered and the wheel at the cistern is crushed. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Okay, so the man is, when he dies, the silver cord is broken. The golden bowl is crushed, right? The thing, you know, you go in front of the mirror, the golden bowl, that's you, that's right? Okay, that's you, you're so good looking, you know? Okay, when you die, that's over. And the spirit goes to God. So we are, the Bible tells us this, that we are dualistic, we're part of this material world and part of the spirit world. Alright. Now there's one more thing about biblical dualism we need to talk about. The Word of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, came into the world from His spirit form. Okay, God, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. In His spirit form, He came into the world, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So God is a spirit, but God the Word became flesh. He became a man. It isn't that he wasn't real before, but he entered into this physical world and joined with it. And so all of this is sufficient to give the basics of biblical dualism. It's essential to our understanding of reality. It's essential for any hope of redemption from our sinful condition. We need redemption by a man who is able to have a perfect and sinless life. So the perfect life of the Word, the Son of God, became a man in order that he could become the substitute for us in our sin. And that's what salvation is all about. That's what the dualistic philosophy of the Bible is all about. So we have the materialistic philosophy that is saying there is no spirit. We have not an idealistic, but a dualistic philosophy. That's the Bible philosophy that says God is a spirit. He is over all. He created the world. He created the physical and he created the spiritual. And we are both physical and spiritual. So our last point is evaluating godless materialism. Materialism, the inevitable consequences. First of all, it denies the existence of God or any other spiritual phenomena. If you believe that all that is just matter, there can't be a God. A quote here from one of the articles on materialism says, materialism states that what cannot be perceived does not exist, which includes ghosts, spirits, God, or any immaterial content of the mind. Right? So materialism, in a materialistic world, there is nothing that is real. That there is nothing that is spiritual. Right? So, in the book A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, and if you've seen the movie, you'll remember this scene. So Scrooge is a materialist. He doesn't care. You know, he's putting people out of business. He's grinding them as a moneylender. He's making money. He has, you know the scene where they come and try to get a donation from him for Christmas and do something for the poor, and he says, are there no workhouses? Right? Are there no prisons? I mean, we've done something for the poor. Okay? So, he's a materialist. And then along comes Marley's ghost. Remember how that scene, Marley's ghost shows up? And he goes, well, I don't believe in ghosts. You're a humbug. You're a bit of undigested beef, he says. Remember that? A bit of undigested beef. And what does Marley do? He just screams at him. Oh, I believe, I believe. Right? So the materialistic world is whatever it happens to Scrooge, pre the spirit Scrooge, right? The spirits come and teach him a lesson, right? And that was what Dickens' point was, actually. Dickens is a very complicated man. He was not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he had a sense of the spiritual. Okay? Very tragic, because you can have the right kind of philosophy, you can have a dualistic philosophy and not know God. See, it's very tragic. Okay? But anyway, materialism then denies the existence of God. And if it denies the existence of God, basically it's denying the reality of a sin nature. Because if we're just mechanical flesh, who can charge us with sin? We're just acting in accordance with our hormones. It's all physical. It's not... There's nothing spiritual about it. That's why the idea that people, when people say, well, I'm just going to live, you know, that bumper sticker, he who has the most toys wins. Person who lives for things, a materialistic attitude. Well, they may not entirely subscribe to everything that materialism teaches, but materialism would say that is just fine because all we get is this life. You've heard people say, well, there is no afterlife. There's nothing after this. So just live. Just live for today. You know, seize the day. Carpe diem. Okay? And all that matters is the physical. And this will lead to, in our culture right now, this madness where people are denying the reality of their own bodies. Okay? Well, it's just physical. And inside, there's something wrong with my physicality, and I have feelings inside that tell me that I'm something different. And in a materialistic world, well, that's fine, you know. There's no sin. There's no right and wrong. There's no natural law, even, which is natural law. Many people follow natural law, but that doesn't make them Christians. But natural law is God's general revelation that shows people that right is right and wrong is wrong. It's meant to teach a spiritual lesson, but they are not learning the lesson, or they're refusing to learn the lesson. Okay? So these are the consequences, inevitable consequences of materialism. Karl Marx himself was heavily influenced by a German materialist, Ludwig Feuerbach. But he went beyond Feuerbach, and he wrote a book, Theses on Feuerbach. And in this book, he insisted that philosophers have only interpreted the world in various ways. The point is to change it. So Marx had the idea of materialism that he got from Feuerbach and then developed it in certain ways. But he also brought in the idea, we're not just here to talk about these things, we're here to do something about it. And that brings in his revolutionary philosophy. Okay, that we do this by revolution. Vladimir Lenin took the ideas of Marx and Engels further as he applied these practices to practical communism in the Soviet Union. And what did that lead to? It led to a break with traditional morality, justifying the slaughter of millions of people in the Soviet state. Okay, so the lack of morality, the denial of the spiritual, the refusal to admit there is a God, the refusal to admit that there's any kind of accountability to God. Materialism is essentially anti-God and anti-Bible. The aim of many, most human philosophies is to eliminate God from any discussion of reality. So this frees you from the accountability for your actions, it denies sin, and it frees you of your responsibility towards God, our Master and Lord. So you can live however you want. And materialism does this. Okay, so I'm saying that's the goal of most philosophies. It's the goal of idealism. It's the goal of almost every other philosophy except Christianity. But materialism then achieves this end by reducing reality to only that which can be perceived by the physical senses. There's no room for God in such a world. And it lies behind many destructive ideas. Most evolutionists are materialists. There's just this physical world, and it just over long periods of time, it changed into what we have today. And materialism removes accountability for any reality. And we've discussed this at length. So our message isn't about communism directly, but about one of the pillars of communism, materialism. And I'm going to go back to the proposition. The philosophy of materialism is entirely at odds with the Bible picture of reality. Any movement, including communism, that rests on materialism cannot be true. Cannot be true. And so this is one of the first reasons to oppose communism as a philosophy, is because of its materialistic basis. Now, I've simplified this. There's a lot more. I'm not sure you want to read all this, but if you do have an interest in finding out more about this, you can read pages and pages of incomprehensible text and find out more about materialism. I've tried to simplify it and boil it down, and I used articles that tried to simplify it and boil it down. But this is the essence, I think, and I think I've presented it accurately. But the Bible picture is that we don't live in a materialistic universe. We live in a dualistic universe. There is a God at the head, a God who is a spirit. He created all things, and you're accountable to Him. And that's the world we live in. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank You for this time that we've had, thinking about this particular aspect of the philosophies that influence and trouble our world. Lord, I pray that You would help us to be faithful witnesses, leading people to hope and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they would free themselves from the bad thinking that dominates their lives and leads them astray. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.